Friends, turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 119. And our text is found in verse 45. Verse 45. I want you to realize that the Word of God is so full that the gospel of Jesus Christ can be preached and people can be pointed to the Lord in throughout this book. And here we come to this wonderful verse that caught my attention a couple of weeks ago or so, where it says this, "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." I will walk at liberty, the psalmist says, for I seek thy precepts. There's a kind of liberty, there's a kind of freedom, dear friends, that many people prize today, a freedom to live how they want. That's what people want, speaking how they want and choosing what they want. In some places, this freedom is fiercely protected. We call it civil liberty, our civil freedoms that we enjoy, especially in this land. There are still many things we enjoy, and rightly so, because it is a gift from God to live without tyranny. But there is another kind of liberty, there is another kind of freedom that far surpasses all of these things. A liberty of the soul. And this is what the psalmist is talking about. I will walk, he says, at liberty. There is a freedom that affects eternity. Not just time, but eternity. That's the kind of freedom that you should be seeking after. And yet, this greater freedom is little known. It is little understood. People don't know what is the liberty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Most imagine that Christianity is nothing more than a list of do nots. Don't do this, don't do that, do this. They think it's a prison of rules. Some say, I want to be free. I don't want religion to chain me down. Have you ever said that? I've heard that. But what if I told you that the very opposite of that attitude is true? That real slavery, real bondage is found outside of God's word and outside of Jesus Christ. And true freedom is found in walking with God through his son, Jesus Christ. That's true freedom. What if I told you that's the case? That's the reality. You listen to David's words here. I will walk at liberty, he says, for I seek thy precepts. That's the word of God, the law of God, the truth of God that God has revealed. That's not a cry of a chained man. That's the song of a man that has been set free. Free in his heart. Free before God. Free in his mind. Free in his walk. That's the kind of a man. I fear there are people here and you're in bondage. You are chained somehow. So listen. When David sought God's commands, and in it, what did he see? And King David not just saw pure commands of God, but in the command of God, he saw Jesus Christ. You read Psalm 22 and you would see for yourself, these are the words of Christ. These are the experiences of Christ that David saw in a word of prophecy, that this is what Jesus would say on the cross. That's what he saw in the commands of God. He wasn't walking in the fear of a bondage, but he was walking in liberty, in freedom. Friend, do you have this liberty? Or are you still in the dark prison and you don't like it, but you still love it? It's the bondage of sin, prison of sin, worldly pleasure, just temporary pleasure. And all you would say, well, I'll change tomorrow. I know what I'm doing is wrong. What I'm thinking is wrong. I'll indulge in this gossip. I will indulge in this thinking highly of myself, but then I will humble myself tomorrow. I will take this thing. It will just ease the pain. And I will change tomorrow. We've all done that, haven't we? We've done that kind of a thing, that kind of a thinking. Are you still in that dark place? The Bible calls it spiritual death. Many today think they are free, but they follow their own desires. Look at the consequences of that in your life, the consequences of your choices. Are you always happy with the choices that you've made? I'm sure you've said, I wish I'd done things differently. I've said that. All of us have said that. Are you actually free and really happy? Are you truly, can you say, like the psalmist spoke about, the blessed man? This is the true happy man. And the Lord Jesus Christ said this, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. He says, you commit sin, and you commit sin against God. He says, you're a servant of it. That is, you're a slave to it. You may be free politically in this nation, but you're still a slave, the Bible says, spiritually. So this morning, I want to use the time that we have to show you from God's word what true liberty is and what it is not, and how you can have this liberty that is only found, revealed in the Bible, and found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there are a number of things I want to say, basically 2 points with some sub-points and a conclusion. So the first point is this. I want to speak to you about those that are strangers to true liberty. Those who are strangers and ignorant to the true freedom that the Bible talks about. The psalmist says here, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. If you are to understand what true liberty is, we must first understand what it is not. David says then, I will walk at liberty. But not all walk in that path. Not everyone is walking in that freedom. Many talk of freedom. Yes, freedom of thought, freedom of expression, freedom of choice. But still, they remain in cruel bondage. The Apostle Paul speaks of those who promise liberty. They say, you can be free in this way. There are individuals who say to you, oh, you can enjoy this, you can do this, and you don't have to worry about it. The Apostle Paul talked about them, or I should say Peter, in 2 Peter 2 and verse 19. He said, there are those who promise liberty to others, while, he says, and I quote, they themselves are the servants of corruption. They're saying, you can be free, but they themselves are not free. They're servants of corruption. They're slaves to corruption. You see, the devil's freedom is a golden cage. So he gives you a golden cage, and he says, you are free. But you're not free. It's attractive. The devil's cage is attractive, but it is inescapable. You cannot get away. You are caught. And how does this play out? Think about it. How does this cage plays out? There's a bondage to the world. That's one of the things that the Bible speaks about. The world binds you. The culture in which we are living in, it is everywhere that you see. From the moment that we are born, the world begins to press in upon us. So it's customs, how you should do things. It's fashions, what you should be wearing, how you should look. It's expectations. They become the air that we breathe. It becomes so natural to you, you don't even think about it. For young people here, you need to be so mindful of this. You need to see this for what it is. It is that pressure maybe that the world says to you, you need to fit in. Fit in with your schoolmates. Fit in with those online influencers that are telling you, this is what life is about. They haven't yet lived the life. They're only in their 20s. They don't know what they're talking about, but they're teaching people how to live life. And millions follow these people. That's the world seeking to entice you, seeking to poison your mind. There's so much peer pressure. And not only children are affected by it, adults experience the same thing. How to live like your neighbor, what you should do. For adults, it's oftentimes what you're living for, the career, the reputation, what people think of you. How often that is the case? We don't want to be judged. We don't want people to think badly of us. And that influences us, doesn't it? Certainly, that's the thing I fight against. what does people think? And then every Sunday morning, I have to say to myself, no, I must preach the word of God, whatever people think. Because this is what people experience as well. And they must hear what the Lord thinks and what does he say, because the word of God is a mirror that you stand before. And you should see what God says. Because tomorrow you go and the world says, no, that's not true. For adults, they are influenced by the idea, that unspoken rule of not rocking the boat, not doing anything that's different. Because what will happen, even if you take up some kind of a religion, it must be made to fit in with the mood of the age. Because people ask not what God says in our society. What does God say? But what will others think of me if I take the Bible seriously? That's not freedom, my friends. This is fear, actually. It's fear disguised as freedom. You're fearing everybody. The Apostle Paul, he speaks plainly of this, saying that you walked according to the course of this world. That's what he's talking about. You walked just to fit in. The world was feeding you and saying this is the way that you should come. It was the carrot that was hanging in front of you. So this is the way you should go. People are like leaves blown by the wind. People are tossed here and there, to and fro by every wind, with other people's expectations. And people live their lives according to that, what people expect of them. And when someone dares to follow God's way and the gospel of Jesus Christ and say, I will die to myself, I will relinquish everything I have to follow Jesus Christ. I want him more than anything else. I don't want my sin. I don't want to sin against God anymore. What do people say? What happens? You're mocked then. You're labeled as extreme. You're pushed to the margins. People don't talk to you the same way they used to. The Apostle Peter, he spoke about this. He says, they think it strange that you run not with them the same to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. He says, you're not running with them anymore. And so they are saying, you're excessive in your religion. They would speak evil of you. The world claims to be tolerant. We are living in a tolerant society. Yet it cannot tolerate the holiness of the Word of God, and it cannot tolerate the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. And then there is the bondage of flesh. So we've talked about the world, that even if the world left us alone, we still have a greater tyrant within. So you can go to a monastery, lock yourself up in a room. You'll be the most miserable person, and you'll fall into all sorts of sins, and that happens as well all the time. Because you see, you go take with you your sinful heart. I take with me my sinful heart. So some may protest, that some may say, well, I do what I want. But the real question is, what is it that you want? The Lord Jesus Christ said, whosoever committeth sin is the servant, is the slave of sin. We often choose the very thing that enslaves us. Isn't that true? There is a man called Esau in the Bible, for those of you who are new to these things. There's a man called Esau, and he didn't care about the spiritual life, even though he had it in front of him. There was the example of his father and his family and all sorts of people, and he sold his birthright. He said, I don't care about my upbringing. I don't care about what God has promised. No, just for a single meal. He couldn't even say, I'll just fast for a little bit. I'll just wait until my mom or my wife cooked me a meal. No, he couldn't wait. And people sort of trade eternal riches, their own soul, for a moment's pleasure, just so that they can get their fix, just so that they can just be happy a little bit longer. But it's a worldly pleasure. That's not liberty. It's bondage dressed in bright colors. That's what it is. And that's what I see. When I see somebody carrying a rainbow flag in the past month, and I've seen some, I see here is it's a sad, sad thing. I see someone who is in bondage, who is in prison. They are not free. And that should break your heart. Paul describes this battle that he was feeling in his own flesh as this war that was taking place within his heart. And he said at one point, "Oh, wretched man that I am." This is the Apostle Paul. This is a follower of Christ. And even as Christians, we have this battle going on within us. But praise God, the power has been broken by the blood of Jesus Christ. So you think about that. You think about what is your flesh craving and the reasons behind all of these things, the addiction, the rage, the anger, the lust, the laziness, the jealousy, all of these things. Where do they come from? The coveting, always wanting the next thing. Where do they come from? All these hold people fast and they cannot break free, even though they know better. Why do people do what they hate? Because they're slaves to sin. That's what the Bible says. Their will is not free. However you want to talk about freedom of the will of a sinner is free as far as his sin. He chooses what he wants within that sin. He cannot choose God. He cannot do it. It's fettered. It's chained. So like a dog that I used to have that was chained, he is free within that circumference. But that's it. He can't do anything else. He will pull out and then he has to stop. And then there's the bondage of the devil. Time is going very fast this morning. But the bondage of the devil. There's one more master who rules the unconverted soul. But then so many people don't even think about it. They deny that he exists. Satan, whom the scripture calls the god of this world. He doesn't rule with visible chains, but with unseen power. Our Lord Jesus Christ said that the devil is a liar and a murderer from the beginning. He blinds minds. He tempts hearts. He accuses souls. He says to you, you can't go to church with that kind of a lifestyle. You can't seek the Lord with that kind of a life that you've lived. What does God think of you? You can't do that. Begin to fix your life. Then you go. That's the devil talking. That's not God talking. Because Jesus Christ says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's what Jesus says. But the devil says, "No, fix yourself up, and you'll never fix yourself up. You will never come at all," as the hymn says. But the Apostle Paul speaks about these things. It is the devil that leads people astray without them even noticing. He says that the unbelievers are those who have been taken captive by him at his will in 2 Timothy 2. And that's chilling, isn't it? That's serious. Satan doesn't need to show up in a sort of a red suit and a pitchfork. He doesn't do that. It's a figment of people's imagination and Roman Catholic nonsense. That's what it is. He whispers, you see, he whispers in your ear, "Live your truth. Live your truth." Have you heard that? "I have my truth, you have your truth." And that's what Satan says. Follow your heart. Have you ever heard that? Maybe you have said that. Follow your heart. Where did that lead people? Or he says, "All roads lead to God." These lies sound pleasant, but they're poisoned. He takes the arrow looks nice, and then he licks the tip of it with his poisonous tongue, and he fires. It looks all fine. It sounds good. It looks well. And men drink the cup of the devil with smiles, not knowing that the end is death. So, friend, if You do not belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are actually in great danger. You're not free. You're a prisoner. Even if you sit in a comfortable home and you walk the streets without fear, worse still, you're like a man who's in a burning house who refuses to see the flames. No, it hasn't come yet to my room. Let me give you an example from the Bible. You have that king, Pharaoh of Egypt. He ruled the mightiest empires of his day. He had power over life and death. But was he free? No, he wasn't free. He hardened his heart against God, not just once, but again and again and again. And at least he rushed headlong into the Red Sea. At that last point, he rushed into the Red Sea, chasing what? Chasing who? He was chasing after God's people. What happened to him? He perished. He was freely choosing what he wanted to do. But he was actually bound in his sin. That's the end of those who refuse God's freedom. They drown in the very rebellion that they trusted in. That's what happens. So those who live without God, who do not know the Savior, Jesus Christ, they are not free. Do you not want to be free? Do you not want to be spiritually free? Are you happy with sin? Sin is so bitter. It's so damaging. Damages individuals, damages families. But the greatest thing is not that. Don't try to seek salvation and Christianity to fix you with people. The issue is you are separated from God. That needs to be fixed. You must glorify God and realize that it is against Him you have sinned. And your relationship with Him is wrong and must be put right. And it's only the blood of Jesus Christ that can cleanse your sin and bring forgiveness to you and give you new life. So the psalmist says, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Let me just go to the next point then. There are these, I mentioned that there are those who are strangers to true liberty. There are those people who don't know what liberty is. But then there are those people who actually enjoy liberty. There's another group of people who are actually rejoicing. They are actually free spiritually. And they are saying, I will walk at liberty. I am walking at liberty. So David was no stranger to sorrow. He had many things that he sorrowed after. You read Psalm 119, you'll see it. You read the Psalms, you'll see it. He knew the pressure of kingship. He knew the pain of betrayal. He knew the guilt of sin. He had fallen many times. He knew the weight of responsibility. Yet he's saying here with confidence, he says, I will walk at liberty. How? Because his feet were walking in the path of God's commandment. What does the commandment of God teaches us? It points us to Jesus Christ. The commandment of God, the word of God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the commandment of God. That's the thing that we need to walk in, that Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins at Calvary's cross. And I trust him. I will repent of my sins and turn away from my old life and to only follow Jesus. His feet were walking in the path of God's word. This is the sort of a paradox of the gospel. Obedience to God and his gospel is not bondage. It is the soul's greatest freedom. Just think about the freedoms that true Christians enjoy. Oh, there are fake Christians out there. But those who truly belong to the Lord as true children of God, they enjoy freedom to walk according to one's own enlightened judgment. What do I mean by that? The man who walks with God is not pulled along by public opinion. That person is now free. I'm not going to be following sort of popular sort of pressure or opinion or cultural pressure. He's not moving from this to that and by man-made philosophies. No. His mind is anchored. His mind is fixed on Jesus Christ. That's what he realized. I fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. Everything may be wrong, but all is well with Jesus. He is settled. He has his dark days, but he says, beyond my cloudy mind, there is the sunshine of Christ shining. His conscience, you see, his conscience is illuminated by the light of God's word. So he's reading the Bible. He doesn't understand everything, but then he comes across passages and which meant nothing to him before, but now it's bright. Now he's rejoicing. God's word means something to him now. Before it wasn't. It was a closed book before. He's found something better, truer, eternal. He realizes that Jesus Christ died for his sins. That Jesus Christ loved him. He realizes that he must be set free from these chains, and he's fled to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and turned in repentance away from his sin, his sinful choices. And God has saved him from that, from his sin. He's found someone better. He's found something better. That someone is the Lord Jesus. That something is the Word of God. Now that's the standard of his life. That's the roadmap for his life. The Apostle Paul spoke about this. He said to Christians, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the Christian thinking. My mind needs to be renewed by not the fads of this world, not by the gurus of this world, not by the YouTube influencers of this world, not my mind. The true Christian is renewed by the Word of God. He begins to see the world as it is. God's commandments are his delight. In the past, it used to be harsh and it used to be strange. Now they appear wise and good and beautiful because they're commands of the Lord Jesus. John tells us that his commandments are not grievous in 1 John 5. He doesn't think, oh, I must not lie, I must not steal, I must not lust, I must not hate. He doesn't think like that. He rather thinks, why would I want such things? Why would I want things that would grieve my Father? And why would I want things that poison my soul? God gives me something better. He delights in the law of God in his soul. He walks freely because his judgment has been liberated. The fact that he should have been condemned and judged, yet all of that has been poured on Jesus Christ. His account is canceled. The bad account is canceled. He has now a perfect account in Jesus Christ. He's been set free from the bondage of sin, the darkness of sin. He sees the narrow way. He's counted the cost. And he says, this is the path of peace. This is the path of life. Dear friends, do you have such liberty of mind? Or are you still confused by the world's mixed message? Are you driven by impulse? You're just going up and down. Depends on your impulses. Do you have many regrets? Another thing to think about is this for the Christian. Is now freedom to act according to the Word of God, but God has inclined his heart. He's not being dragged. A Christian is not someone dragged unwillingly to holiness. God doesn't enslave the heart, as it were. He changes it. He gives him a new heart. His heartbeat is now on a different rhythm. It's a different time. It's a time scale, if I could say this, of heaven. Heaven doesn't have time. But the rhythm is different. David says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. This is not forced formality, friends. It's joyful submission. And yet, yes, there is this battle within because he's still in the flesh. He still struggles. Sometimes he falls. But the Lord strengthens him, gets him up. He's being sanctified. The Lord Jesus Christ chases after us, you see. If you're a Christian, well, two things happen. Christians come after you if you fall. They come and chase after you because they love you. And also the Lord is after you. He will not lose one of his sheep. Jesus Christ didn't die for people and then lose them. He'll come after you. And that's why then things become hotter and hotter and more difficult for you. And until you say, I give up. I give up. I have to give everything to the Lord Jesus. I have to trust in him. When he wants holiness, and when he even stumbles, you hear the Christian pray, Lord, help me to love you more. Help me to overcome this sin. Help me to walk worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is no longer a man driven by passion. He can't, the passions that he can't control, but one who presses forward in a fight of faith. It's a good fight. His obedience flows not from terror of punishment, but from the love for his Redeemer, for his Savior, for Jesus Christ. That's what moves us. The love of Jesus Christ constrains us, the Apostle Paul says. That's the Christian. Is that you? So I'll ask you again, what drives your choices? Are you carried about by selfish desires? This makes you feel happy? Or are you led by love for the Savior, Jesus Christ? Do you obey God because you must or because you want to? There's a big difference there. Another thing is this, freedom to rejoice. Freedom to rejoice. The Christian can rejoice always, can praise God always, even in the worst of times. Even at the point of death, when all is becoming dark, we can rejoice in our God, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, we read this morning. And this is perhaps the greatest liberty of all. The child of God is not merely allowed to draw near to God. He is welcomed, welcomed. You see, the veil that separated us, that curtain that was separating us, has been torn. The wall of separation is pulled down. The door is open, and there's a word welcome on it. The Christian can call God Father from the heart. And God calls him my beloved. His prayers are heard. His praises are accepted. This relationship and communion with God is real. It's not ritual. We are not going through motions. We are not going through a ritual. But it's a real thing. He said, we love him. My soul loves him. He can take away everything from me, but I still love him. So the psalmist says, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Think about, dear friends, of that prodigal son. Think of that parable in Luke 15. He wanted to be free. So he took his inheritance. He fled to a far country and he wasted all in sin. Sin is costly. That's the world's freedom. Reckless. Self-willed. It's ruinous. But where did it lead? Where did it lead him? To a pigsty. He was hungry. He was ashamed. He was alone. But when he came to himself, he said, I will arise and go to my father. And there it was that he found what? He found that he never expected this. He found love. He found welcome. He found a clothing, a robe of righteousness that was put on him. He didn't deserve it, but he then walked in liberty. That's true liberty. That's true freedom. Not in doing what we please, but being restored to the God who made us. That's what David was talking about. I will walk in liberty. Let me finish then. What can we say? How can we apply this? Then what we say is this welcome of the Lord. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for sinners, and walk in this liberty of the gospel of the Savior. We've seen here from the Word of God that the ungodly are strangers to liberty. But those who love, those who seek God's precepts, they walk in freedom because the precept leads us to the gospel, leads us to Jesus Christ. Let me say to you, those of you who are not converted, you're not unsaved. You are not free. You're still not free. You're still bound up in things. You may say, well, I do what I want. I'm free. I can do whatever I want through the day. But I ask again, what is it that you want? And why do you want it? You're not free if you are not, if you cannot say no to sin. If you can't say no to sin and you're following it and keep doing that, that's the pattern of your life. You're not free. Don't fool yourself. If you can't pray, if you can't obey the Lord, if you don't really, truly, from the depth of your soul, you love the Lord, oh, we can say many things. But if you can't overcome this guilt, and the guilt is dealt with at the cross of Jesus, you're not free. This is not liberty. It's slavery in disguise. A slave to the free fear of man. A slave to lust. A slave to pride and money and reputation and habits and addictions. And above all, slave to the devil. And the saddest part is that some of you are in chains and you don't even feel it. You're smiling, you're happy, as I was mentioning yesterday, you didn't hear me in the open air, but I was saying this in the open air. So there are people who are just on their phones walking, but they don't see a cliff coming. They're laughing at YouTube shorts. They're laughing at jokes. They're reading articles, but they're going headlong. And suddenly the ground gives way and they fall. That's the world of many people. Don't be like that. So please listen. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to preach deliverance to the captives, we read in the Bible. He came to save sinners. He alone can break your chain. He alone has paid the price of freedom. His own blood upon that cross paid that. There it is, at that place, there was a hill called Calvary where Jesus Christ was crucified. He broke sin's grip. He conquered death itself. And now, if the Son, the Bible says, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. To those of you who are maybe a little bit religious, but you're still lost, you're holding on and doing some religious things, beware of the illusion of liberty. You may come to church, you may carry a Bible, but is your soul free? Not all who walk among the people of God walk with God. They're still strangers to His grace. They can know teaching of the Bible. They can talk about it, argue it, but they don't talk about Jesus Christ. Have you found that? That's the thing. That's the thing I'm looking for. Who is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ? They fear hell, but they don't love holiness. They hear sermons, but they don't hunger for righteousness. J.C. Ryle, he said this, hell is paved with good intentions and quiet resolutions. Some of you want to seek God someday, but not today. You say, I'm not far off. I just need a little more time. My friends, the rope of delay is twisted by Satan's hands. One man was the one who was drowning, and he saw that he was drowning. And he cried out to the Lord, Lord, save me. May that be you. Do not rest until you can say with David, I will walk at liberty. And to you believers, how much you have to rejoice. How much you have been set free. From what have you been set free? Do you rejoice? Are you constantly looking at things which does not praise God? My friends, let us realize that we have the yoke of bondage has been broken. Don't be discouraged. Some of you are discouraged. Sin still clings to you. Temptation knocks daily at your door. The old desires whisper to you. That's normal. That's natural. That's the old man wanting to get in. Yes, the battle remains for you, Christians. But listen, you're free to fight now. Before, you couldn't fight. But now you're free. Praise God for that. You're free now. You're no longer slaves to sin. You're a soldier now, not a slave, soldier of Jesus Christ, and a slave only to God. You do His will. And when you fall, you rise again. Turn to the Lord again. Say with Paul, "Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You're free to pray. You're free to praise. You're free to hope. You're free to grow. And one day you will be free in heaven. So let us not have a miserable life. May your tears be tears of joy in this life. If you have questions, my friends, those especially who are not Christians, please talk with us. Please come and say, "I need to talk to you about these things." And may God have mercy upon us for His praise. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, our God, we bless Thee and thank Thee for our Savior, Jesus Christ, who sets us free from the bondage of sin. And Lord, we pray that these truths may go deep in our hearts effectually and may transform some to become new men and women and boys and girls in Jesus Christ, and others to be encouraged to follow the Savior even closer, even harder. Lord, depend upon Thy grace more and more, and walk by faith and not by sight. O Lord, receive our praise and thanks for what Jesus Christ has done and for what Thy word has revealed to us. May we walk at liberty for Thy praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.